Glory to God. Remind you that we are receiving special offerings this month for, it's for the Douglas County Task Force. They have a Hope and Health Center where they distribute and help the poor in the area. I say poor, those that are in a time of trouble or time of need. And, you know, every one of us at some point could find ourselves in a tight spot. And I'm thankful that our country as a whole is a giving country.
Yes.
And we want to encourage and help those in our community. And so we did this last year about this time, and it came up in my heart to do it again. So every Sunday in January, we're receiving anyone who would like to give, just on your envelope or on your check as you give, or if you text to give or whatever, you can talk to me afterwards. I'll make sure that gets designated. Anything that comes in for that offering, there's the 5 Sundays in January, we have a couple left, you can designate that. I will take that and send that to them the beginning of February. So just a reminder to you, we put our check in this morning for that particular offering. I like to get in on every
Amen.
Good work that yeah. God is doing.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. So as God leads and directs you, always ask Him. When something comes up, when you see a need, always check with Him about what you should do.
Yeah.
There may be times where He tells you don't have to do anything for this particular need. You know, we'll all see needs all the time, whether you watch the news or, you know, whatever it is. We always want to check with God and make sure that what we're doing is Spirit-led.
Yep.
Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Because that's
Amen.
Where we'll receive the most benefit.
Yes.
And we know that things will go further and farther and be multiplied faster if we are led by His Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, last week, oh my goodness, we ministered on a subject. We called it the coming of the Lord. Praise
yes.
God. Just reminding ourselves of the fact that Jesus is coming again.
Yes.
Amen? Does everyone believe that?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Why is it important to minister on those things if everybody knows it? Well, you know, before I was a Christian, I thought I was a Christian. Meaning, I believed that Jesus was Lord. I went to church every Sunday, and I really thought that's all you needed to do to go to heaven,
right.
to know God.
Right.
Here's the thing, though. I so longed for God. I longed to know Him better. I longed to understand His Word, because as a teenager, I'd open up the Bible and start with Genesis 1, and I'd get to maybe Genesis 3. You know, chapter 3, and I was done. I didn't understand what was going on. Why? Because at that point, I wasn't born again. I hadn't received Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. And so the light that comes when you receive Him wasn't there. And I was trying to get to God without God's help.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the church I went to, they weren't much help. And it took me meeting up with other people who said, hey, you need to be born again. You need to receive Jesus as your Lord. He needs to be the Lord of your life. And I kept telling them, but I'm a Christian. I'm already a Christian. I'm already a Christian. Don't bother me. I'm already a Christian. I believe that Jesus is Lord. And they were so sweet. They were so sweet in that they kept pestering me.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
There are some people you're going to have to be sweet to in your life.
Yes.
By dropping hints once in a while. By just giving them a gentle nudge once in a while. By reminding them that Jesus is Lord. And that He needs to be their Lord. Right?
Right.
And so someone came to me and said, you really need this in your life. And then at that point, the Spirit of God was working on me, and I realized, oh, I really do need this. And I received Jesus as my Lord, and light came. Amen? So you may think I've gotten off topic, but, you know, there are a lot of people, and I say this because there are a lot of Christians who would agree with the fact that Jesus is coming again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
they mentally agree with that fact. They've seen it written down on paper. They've seen a few verses in the scripture about it. But are they really living with the reality? In other words, is it part of their everyday thought? Do you wake up thinking, Jesus, you're coming again? Now, I'm saying that to me because I can honestly say I don't wake up every day thinking, oh, the Lord's going to return. So what we're doing these couple weeks is stirring me up. I'm stirring myself up by going over some scriptures about the return of the Lord, and you get to listen in. Praise God. All right? That's how we do it around here. I'm going to preach to me, and you can listen in on it if you want to. Amen. So if you would this morning, praise the Lord, turn with me to Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Hallelujah. Revelation, chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants, the things that must soon take place. Mm-hmm. Do you see that? Yes. And we said this last week. If you read through the New Testament and you just look at all the phrases about things that are soon to take place, things about the return of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the end of the age, the last days, the last times. If you start underlining those phrases, you are going to be amazed at how many times this end times, the last days, the coming of the Lord is referenced. And so here we see it in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. You see that? That must soon take place. Can we say that? That must soon take place. And you might think, well, this was written a long time ago. I know, but they must soon take place. Amen. And our job as the body of Christ is not to get complacent about this, right, but to stay stirred up, right, to fan the flame that's on the inside of us and understand that these must soon, yeah, take place.
Amen.
He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear,
mm-hmm, amen,
and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So in three verses, we've got these things must soon take place, and we've got the time is near.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're soon to take place. They must soon take place. They must soon take place, and the time is near. Blessed are those who read. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. Isn't that an interesting way to say it? Blessed is the one who reads aloud this prophecy.
Yes.
What's he saying? Put it in your mouth. This is something that is to be in all of our mouths. And blessed are you if you keep this in the forefront of your life by putting it in your mouth.
Amen.
It's important. It's important to the Lord.
Yeah.
Yes.
Remember last week we talked about how the fact that the Bible describes Jesus as the bridegroom. And it talks about the church, his body, as the bride.
Yes.
Remember that wedding we talked about last week where the bride could care less about the wedding day? Have you ever met a bride, someone engaged? Have you ever met one who could say, yeah, when you're getting married? I don't know. And next week sometime, I think. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? No, 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 no. Most people, when they get engaged, they're like, oh, well, when should we set the date? Because we want to give ourselves enough time to make sure that everything is lined up and perfect for that day. Yeah. For that day. It's all about that day. And every time that bride-to-be wakes up, her life is revolving around that day.
Yeah.
That day. That day. And every day that ends, it's one day closer to that day.
Wow. Wow.
The time that's soon to come. Praise the Lord. The time is near. The time is near. And blessed are those who put this in their mouth. What is putting? Somebody who's talking about something, what does that mean? You've ever met somebody who's passionate about a certain thing? Perhaps cars, engines, motors. How long into the conversations can you go before you hear something about that topic?
2 seconds.
It depends on how passionate they are. And John, in this amazing book that is wrapping up the New Testament, says, blessed are those who put this in their mouth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why? Because they're the ones that are expecting.
Yeah.
Amen.
They're eagerly looking. They're waiting expectantly for that day. Mm-hmm. That day.
Yeah.
When Jesus comes back again. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We're just looking at scripture today. That's all we're going to do. We're going to get it on the inside of us.
Amen.
But there's so much scripture about this topic.
Yeah.
And it's important that we give it the weight it deserves. So let's look at the end of Revelation, Revelation 22. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Revelation 22. Oh, goodness. There's so many good verses. Let's start with chapter 10. Verse 10. 22:10. Nope. Sorry. Verse 6. We got to keep backing up.
Read the whole chapter.
It's so good. Yeah, let's just start with verse 1. 22 verse 1 says, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life. He's seeing heaven here. The river of the water of life, bright as a crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face. Glory to God. And his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. If you ever need a pick-me-up, just read those verses about what it's going to be like, glory to God, in heaven. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. Why would he have to say that? Because so many people don't believe they're true. It's just something they say, like when I was going to church before I was born again, it was just something I knew about, that Jesus was a man, that he came as the Son of God, and that he died and rose again. And I believed it, but he wasn't my Lord. It wasn't alive to me. So when you see in the scripture somebody saying, This is trustworthy.
Yes.
And true. It's something we're to take in fully, acknowledge and believe, and put it in our mouth and say, Lord, I believe this. Mm-hmm. I believe this. I believe heaven's real. I believe you're coming again. I believe what your word says. These things are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants, look at this, what must soon take place. What must soon take place? Verse 7, and behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Why are you blessed? Because he's coming soon.
Yeah.
And he's coming and he wants to find us doing what he's asked us to be doing, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't want to find us binging on Netflix. He wants to find us about his business, doing his work, looking at the world around us and realizing if we don't speak up, they're going to die and go to hell. Yeah, I said that word in church. Behold, I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. And then verse 10 goes on and says, and he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book. In other words, don't conceal it. Don't keep it away from the people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near.
Amen.
Can we say that?
Yeah.
The time is near. How soon is Jesus coming? He's coming soon. How near is the time? The time is near. We don't have to know a day on the calendar to trust the word.
That's right.
We don't have to know a certain year to trust the word.
Amen.
All we have to know is he's coming soon.
Amen.
The time is near. We've got to be ready now.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Behold, I'm coming soon. 11 says, let the evildoer still do evil and the filthy still be filthy, but the righteous still do right.
Yes.
And the holy still be holy.
Yeah.
What's he saying? You know, there's going to be people that live ungodly no matter what time of, no matter what time or age you're on the earth.
That's right.
There will be people that choose not to serve God.
That's
But we who know God,
mm-hmm.
the righteous, we're to stay right.
And
part of staying right, part of staying in holiness is understanding that he's coming soon.
Yes.
And we are to live with that urgency
mm-hmm.
on the inside of us. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Verse 12, behold, I am coming soon.
Yes.
Bringing my recompense with me to repay everyone. Ooh. Everyone? Everyone. Well, for what he has done.
Mm-hmm.
I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. And then he goes on to say some more, and we can just skip to, praise the Lord, verse 20. He says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. In one chapter, how many phrases did we get there? You understand, this is the last chapter of the New Testament. And what is the primary emphasis here? I'm coming soon. I'm coming back. Be ready. Be righteous. Stay holy.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
There is such urgency in the things we see written here that he's saying, this is true. This is trustworthy. I need you to remember this. Don't seal it up. Don't hide it, but reveal it. Keep it in your mouth. Keep saying it. Keep believing it. Keep it alive on the inside of you, because I need my church to be ready.
Amen. Amen.
No, no. No bridegroom is going to be excited if the bride isn't excited. Yeah. Oh my goodness. I just can't imagine somebody being so complacent about their wedding. Yeah. And yet when we look at the body of Christ as a whole,
yeah,
we see a whole lot of complacency. That's not us, though. That's not Faith Church. That's not us. No, 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 no. We are not just excited, but we are sober about the fact that these things must soon come to pass.
Yeah, yeah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 17, I'm going to pop back up there. It says this: the Spirit and the bride. Who's the bride? We're part of the bride. The Spirit and the bride say what?
Come.
Come. And let the one who hears say, come on, y'all.
Come.
And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Oh,
yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. There is something that we are supposed to be saying about the return of the Lord, and it's this: come.
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 Come. Come. You understand, if a bride is about to be married, or the bridegroom, right? The groom, either one of them, they're looking at the calendar and they're saying, come. Come. I can't wait for that day to get here. I can't wait for that day to get here. Come. Come. I can't wait for it to come. I can't wait for it to come. We, as the body of Christ, are to be saying, come, Lord Jesus, come. Praise the Lord. Oh, you're all so excited about that.
No, it's good.
Come.
Yes.
Amen.
The Spirit, the Holy Spirit is saying, come.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The bride is supposed to be saying, come. You don't say come if you're not thinking about it.
That's right.
You're not saying come if it's not even on your mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, like I said, I'm talking to me,
right,
stirring myself up because the Lord was dealing with me. You're not expecting as you ought.
Mm-hmm.
You're not, I mean, if someone says Jesus is coming soon, I'd say amen.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have these scriptures in me big like they ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They weren't big enough in me. As a matter of fact, if I have to go doing some study to find out where those scriptures are, that's a good indication that they're not fresh on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about me. So when we look at these, and when I say these things about underlining these phrases, when we see them, that is actively showing the Lord, I'm looking for this. I'm meditating on this. I'm wanting to know where these scriptures are, because we already said it, in every New Testament book, you can find references to the last days,
right,
to the coming of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And why are they there? Just placeholders? No, they're there for us to take in, for us to study, for us to remember, for us to put in our mouth. Praise the Lord. Let the bride say, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Yes.
Come, come. Glory to God. I heard one person say that this is one, you know, they said, you know, should we pray this, come, Lord Jesus? Because there's so many people that still need to know. To know the Lord. And she was saying, yes, pray this prayer. It says to pray this prayer. And this helps it helps put pressure on the whole the whole end time moving forward. You know, we have a part to play as to when the Lord comes. He's coming for a glorious church. He's coming for a bride that wants him to come.
Yeah. That's right.
And if we're sitting back in our apartment with our feet up on the coffee table, watching movies every night, he's not very interested in coming for that church. Praise the Lord. Let's look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 8 in the Amplified, Brother Sam. There's a part we play in the Lord's return. Our part is believing it, calling for it, staying ready for it. Praise God. James 5, verse 8, we're reading this in the Amplified here just for time's sake. It says, so you also must be patient. Establish your hearts. Strengthen and confirm them in the final certainty. For the coming of the Lord is very near. Very near. Very near. The coming of the Lord is very near, so what do? We establish our hearts. We strengthen and confirm them in these things.
Yes.
We strengthen and confirm them in our hearts so that whenever someone's talking to us, we can help them see the Lord is coming soon. Amen?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Establish your hearts. Strengthen and confirm them in the final certainty. I like that. In the final, we need to be certain about this. This need not be just something that we hear about once in a while. As we said last week, I mean, it used to be ministers would preach on this so much that it was, you know, people felt like it was one of the only things they heard when they went to church.
Yeah.
The Lord is coming soon. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And we know one minister who said that the reason she stayed so straight as a teenager was because she didn't want the Lord. They'd preached it so much in her church, she didn't want Jesus to show up when she was doing something wrong. So she said it kept her straight.
Mm-hmm.
What? Her heart was established in that fact that Jesus was returning.
Yes.
And it helped her stay holy.
Mm.
Not that we're to live in fear, because we're not.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is our righteousness.
Amen.
But we conduct ourselves differently when we know what's ahead.
That's right.
Right? You conduct yourselves differently when you know what's ahead. And we need to always realize what's ahead for the body of Christ is the return of the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Glory to God. And we don't want to just be ready ourselves. We want everyone we know to be ready.
Yes.
We want everyone that's unsaved to be ready.
Yes.
Why? But how do they get ready? Get saved.
Yeah.
Get saved. It puts a fire on the inside of you for the lost.
Mm-hmm.
When this is in the right perspective. When you remember he's coming soon. And the Bible tells us he's coming for his harvest. We're part of the people that reap his harvest.
Amen.
And so our job is to help that harvest. Praise the Lord. Let's go to 2 Peter. Like I said, we're just going to read through some scriptures today. 2 Peter chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 2 Peter. Chapter 3. We're going to do this. We're going to read this in the Amplified as well. This might be a little bit longer, but you can look on the screen with me. 2 Peter 3:3 in the Amplified. It says this, to begin with, you must know and understand this, that scoffers, mockers will come in what? in the last days with scoffing, people who walk after their own fleshly desires. And what is it that they say? They say in verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? Oh my. Where is the promise? There's going to be people. And you know, I've met a lot of people who are unsaved. And the first thing on their mind when they're, you know, dissing Christianity or whatever is not the coming of the Lord. Matter of fact, most of them haven't even heard of it. So that leads me to believe that this is talking about people in the church.
Right.
Who are mocking and scoffing and saying, where is the, if he's coming, where is he?
Yeah.
Oh, better be careful about that. Where is the promise of coming? For since the forefathers fell asleep, all things have continued exactly as they did from the beginning of creation. Nothing is new. We're all just here. And then we go. And whoa, ho, hum, what's the big deal? Yikes. Verse 5 says, for they willfully overlook and forget this fact, that the heavens came into existence long ago by the word of God. What's he saying? The word of God is true. The word of God is true. And just like God created this world with his word, if he says Jesus is coming again and he's coming soon, his word is trustworthy and true.
Amen.
And we better take it as such.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. The heavens came into existence long ago by the word of God, and the earth also, which was formed by the water and by means of water, through which the world that then existed was deluged with water and then perished. Oh, talking about Noah and his flood there. But by the same word, the present heavens and the earth have been stored up, reserved for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly people. Yikes, that doesn't sound good, does it? Nevertheless, do not let this one fact escape you, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. What's he saying? God doesn't keep time like we keep time. He doesn't clock it 24/7, Sunday to Saturday, with a 12-month calendar. His time is different. Does that mean he's wrong? No. Actually, he's right. And we need to renew our minds to think like God.
Mm-hmm.
If he says the time is near, if he says he's coming soon, then the time is near and he's coming soon.
Yeah.
But it's been 2,000 years. I don't care. The time is near and he's coming soon.
Yeah.
Sir.
I just have a thought. Years ago, I kind of took a little math project with this. A day is 1,000 years. And when you begin to actually look at the math, if it were 10 years for Jesus to come, that's 15 minutes to heaven.
Oh, my goodness.
If it's 5 years for him to come, that's only 7.5 minutes. If he were to come in the next year, it's just 90 seconds. So if you were to think if heaven were wanting to come,
right,
and there were horses being dressed and arrayed, men were putting on their garments, and there was only 90 seconds left, to what degree would they be completely clothed, horses perfectly ready, all in order, actually mounted and ready to come? Even if it were 7.5 minutes, which is in the next 5 years,
right,
or 15 minutes, which is in the next 10.
Wow.
So when he says, I'm ready to come, from his vantage point, he's dressed, he's completely ready,
amen,
shoes are tied, horses are completely in perfect array.
Praise
and they're
God.
All lined up at a starting point, ready to hear the trumpet sound.
Yeah.
And he's here. To us, it may be 10 years, but to him, think of how actually close it is.
Wow.
He's
praise
really
the Lord. He's excited about being here. Amen. Amen. He's excited about coming.
Wow.
To the Lord, one day, 1,000 years.
Yeah.
1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what if every one of us in the room actually physically expire and get buried before Jesus comes? He's still coming soon. you've got to think of this the way God thinks of this, and to be able to think of this the way God thinks of it, you have to meditate on it. You have to renew your mind.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Verse 9, the Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about what he promises.
Amen.
I'm going to read it again. The Lord does not delay, and he's not tardy or slow about what he promises.
Amen.
Not according to some people's conception of slowness. We are not going to be those that mock, that scoff, and say, where is he if he's coming? No. We're going to understand this. Look at this. It says, but he is long-suffering, extraordinarily patient toward who? You. Toward me.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
If Jesus were to return this morning, there are people in my family who would not go with him.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
The Lord is long-suffering. He's extraordinarily patient toward me.
Toward you. Yeah.
Why? Because there's people I know and love mm-hmm. that haven't received Jesus yet.
Right.
And as much as we're excited for Jesus to return, that needs to spur me on to make sure my family comes in.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, you can't have the subject of the Lord returning soon prominent in your thinking and in your heart without a passion for the lost being right there.
Wow.
That's why he wants us to keep it in our mouth. He's extraordinarily patient towards me, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should turn to repentance. It's important to him that everyone that should be part of the harvest is part of the harvest. And that's why he waits. He waits for us to make sure we get the job done by going out and telling people they need Jesus. It says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will vanish, pass away with a thunderous crash, and the material elements of the universe will be dissolved with fire. You understand that the earth is not meant to be saved. People can talk about saving the earth, and I'm not saying trash the earth, take care of what he's given us for right now, because we really don't know how much longer we're going to need it.
Right.
But ultimately, it's destined to dissolve with fire. But don't worry, he's going to rebuild it awfully nice.
Yes, amen.
The earth and the works that are upon it will be burned up. Since all these things are thus in the process of being dissolved, what kind of person ought each of you to be in the meanwhile?
Yeah.
In consecrated and holy behavior, and devout and godly qualities. Wait a second, how'd this come back on us? We were just talking about the Lord. What do you mean I have something to do with this? What do you mean I have to live right because the Lord's coming again? Yeah, that's what the scripture says right there. Praise the Lord. I didn't say it, the scripture said it. Since all these things are thus in the process, what kind of person ought each of us to be in the meanwhile? We should be consecrated. We should walk in holy behavior.
Yes.
We should have devout and godly qualities. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, verse 12, while you wait and earnestly long for, expect and hasten the coming of the day of God. Whew. What are we to be doing? We're to be living devout and godly lives while we wait earnestly long for, expecting and hastening the coming of the day of God.
Amen.
Can we hasten the day of God? Yes. The Bible says so. But it's going to take all of us earnestly longing for. And when we're earnestly longing for, it's not just saying, come, Lord Jesus. That's part of it. But it's being moved by the fact that Jesus is coming. And there's so much work to be done and so many people to come into the kingdom before he gets here that we are seriously every day looking for those who might come to the Lord. It puts a fire in your belly. It puts an expectation in your spirit. What should I do, Lord? What's my part? How do I hasten the day? I can't wait for that day. How do I get it here quickly? What's my part in this? How do I help it out? The thought that the church can watch Netflix and that some magic day is just going to come to the calendar and God's going to say, hey, look, Jesus. It's time for you to go. That's the wrong concept, church. It's the wrong concept. We are to be earnestly longing for, expecting, and hastening his coming. Verse 14 says this, so beloved, since you are expecting these things, be eager to be found by him at his coming without spot or blemish and at peace in serene confidence, free from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts. Well, isn't that interesting? What's he expecting the church to look like when he comes? This. People that are at peace, in serene confidence. Oh, I like that. Free from fear.
Yeah.
Oh, glory to God. How many are reading Fearless this month? I am. Glory to God. Free from fear. Any kind of fear. Why? It doesn't belong in the believer's life. Free from fears and agitating passions. What does that mean? I'm not to get caught up in everything else the world gets caught up with.
That's right.
Vaccine, no vaccine. Come on now. Mask, no mask. I'm not to get caught up in that. Why? Because Jesus is coming back again. And that is to be my focus. That is to be my primary concern. Free from fears and agitating passions.
Mm-hmm.
If you're passionate about something to the point where you're agitated,
uh-oh,
rethink your passion.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's all we'll say about that. My point is, not only is Jesus returning, but he's expecting to find us in a certain condition when he returns. We have a part to play. And our part, thankfully, mostly lies with us.
Amen.
I can do this. How about you? When he comes, I can be living for him so strongly. I can be so full of the word and so full of his spirit that when he finds me, I'm without spot and blemish. Glory to God. Not because I'm so good, but because he's so good. Because his word's so good. Because his spirit is so good. Because the greater one is on the inside of me.
Amen.
Glory to God. And he can help me and teach me all things and keep me from evil. He can find me when he comes without spot or blemish. He can find me at peace.
Amen.
Because he's given me his peace. But we must determine to walk in these things.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Scripture after scripture after scripture tells us he's coming soon.
Yes.
Amen.
We're in the last days. It's the end times. It's the end of the age. And we're to be saying, come, Lord Jesus. The Spirit and the bride say, come.
Mm-hmm.
Come. 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 And as we're saying come, something on the inside of us is saying, if he's to come, there's more work to be done. So what's my part of this work? Where am I to look? What am I supposed to do? I want to do my part so that he can come.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
The horses are ready. They're already arrayed. They're wanting to come. Glory to God. You understand, it's going to be quite a show. We read 1 Thessalonians 4 last week, right?
Yeah.
We read it twice. Read it again this week.
Yeah.
Glory to God. It's going to be quite a scene.
Yeah.
We want to be ready.
Amen.
Not only that, we want everyone we know to be ready.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning?
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't you say it with me? Come, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Put it in your mouth, the words of this prophecy. He wants it in your mouth. Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed.
Amen.